So there, I'm just, we did some prayer. Do you know that prayer is, I was thinking about prayer myself this morning while I was doing my video, because when we pray for people, do we pray for their needs or what we want? You ever thought about that? And the example that I used was Lazarus. And Lazarus, you remember Lazarus, what? Died and went to heaven, and they brought him back. If I were Lazarus, I would go, "What are you doing? I was good, and now I'm back here again? Are you kidding me?" Anyway, so I'm going to use this morning. My back is bothering me. And how many know that it's tough to get old? Yeah. I have memorials in my house. They're called canes. Ones that I have made and different things. And so today we're going to look at memorials. And, memorials are something, often a structure, that have been established to remind us of events or people. And you see them all over the place. Memorials are important. And so today is, not today, but tomorrow is what? Memorial Day, right? And Memorial Day is recognized a commitment of men and women who have served in the ultimate sacrifice. It's interesting, and in my life, Memorial Day was a dread for me, particularly as I was younger, because it meant that I had to play in the marching band, and I was in this march, this parade that was, 2 miles, 3 miles long or something, and it wasn't looked on with favor. I've wondered, as I've looked at Memorial Day, have we lost some of the significance of Memorial Day? Have we lost it because of reasons that just our culture goes through? I wondered about that. I don't know for sure if that's true, but so, I mean, we often have memorials to loved ones who have passed. It's not unusual today to have memorials months and long time after family or friends have passed away, and we do a memorial. And I love them because sometimes they're more meaningful than the service that often follows after a person has been deceased. But I want to take a few moments today because memorials are something that keep an event or a person alive. And in Christendom, memorials are very, very important. But beyond that, we have personal memorials, don't we? Do you? How about, I'm just going to show you a couple. This right here is something that I took a picture. In fact, I have that pen and that book, that notebook, in my bag with me. And you wouldn't know this, but that pen was made from the gangplank of the officer's gangplank on the USS Kitty Hawk, and that was the ship that I served on during Vietnam. And my granddaughter, one of my granddaughters, was down in Virginia, and she found this in a store and bought it for me. And so it holds a special place, not only because of my granddaughter who bought it for me, but because it represents the ship that I had served on. Now, I got to tell you, I never walked up, to my knowledge, the officer's gangplank, because I was not an officer. I was a grunt. I mean, I was the guy that they probably threw a ladder over, a rope ladder, and said, "Come on up," you know. But we have memorials like that, don't we? We have little keepsakes. How many of you have too many pens? Praise God, some of us are here to represent the rest of them. I probably have 6 pens in my bag, and they are listed by favorites, you know, because each one often reminds me of something else. But here's a memento that some people have, a hole in one, and they keep the golf ball and they put a plaque up. In fact, there's a couple in your church here that he had a hole in one, I think yesterday. And I hope they're here later, because I want to find out whether he's going to take that and mount it on a plaque somewhere in his house as a memento of remembrance of that day when he got a hole in one. How many of you have something like this in your house? Yeah, I purposely did not get one with a head because I didn't want anyone drooling over that picture and going, oh, I wish I got one like that. But we have those things, don't we? And on my on my shed, the previous owner, I think, has three or four that were attached to the outside of the shed, and I've never taken them down. It's sort of interesting. They're still there. And I looked at them when I was doing that in this message, and I'm thinking, why do I have those? Those have nothing to do with me. But I have them there. And every time I look at them, I think of the guy that owned the house, built the house that we are now in. And so how many have, and I don't want to know this, but we either have deer antlers or we have fish that we have had mounted or all kinds of things. And they're important to us. They remind us of times. How about things like this? In our hallway, my wife has decorated on both sides of the hall pictures of family that are what? Memorials. Now, this family, I have no idea who they are, okay? I just picked a picture off the internet, and you can't tell it necessarily, but it's really actually blurred because it's probably copyrighted and you can't see who actually it is. So if you think this is you, probably isn't. But we have pictures like that. On Thursday, we just had our 24th great-grandchild. Tuesday. Yeah. So when we get them all together, we don't have enough frame space in the camera. But how many have pictures like this as mementos in the house, right? We do. There was a time that we used to carry, guys would carry pictures in their wallets. The only picture I have in my wallet is me and my driver's license. That's it. But we often did that. Can I give you a confession? I had a picture of my wife in my wallet once, and I wrote another girl's phone number on the back. Oh, yeah, that's right. She says she was not my wife at the time. So how about this one? You tell what that is? That's a Bible. And in that Bible, that's margins have been written in and things have been underlined, and that becomes a memorial. In my Bible, the one that I have in my case with me, is one that I have carried with me since for 20-some years. And one of the things that I love about it is the dates that I have put in it. Because those dates remind me and bring me back to a time where God was working in my life. Or God was speaking to me or giving me directions. Or things that I was praying about. And they become memorials. And memorials are valuable to us. They're significant to us. We wear wedding bands because they memorialize the day we said, of course I will, honey, or whatever we said. I tell people, by the way, I have a rubber or neoprene band, marriage band, wedding band. And I have that because if you're married, you know that marriage means you have to be flexible. And so I remind myself that this marriage band that I wear reminds me to be flexible and not stiff, not one way. It's taken me 58 years of marriage to learn that, but, you know, my wife is a sweetheart. She puts up with me. You're so quiet today. My goodness. So I hope that your Bible looks that way. I really, really do. But you know, if you're not sure about what memorials you might have, look at your mantle, look at your walls, look at your keepsakes, look at all the mementos that you might have. That pocket knife that you carry is a memento. That pen. Maybe that coffee cup that you have, the one that you use all the time, is significant. And you see, we load our lives up, not necessarily intentionally, but with mementos, things that memorialize events and situations in our lives. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus said that wherever your treasure is, there your desires of your heart will also be. And one of the things that I've realized and learned is that your mementos, or the things that you hold in memory, can actually be an indication of where your heart is. My wife keeps cards that I have given to her over the years, letters that I have written. I have a letter in my desk that my daughter wrote 30 years ago, and I've held on to it. Because I want, and she, one of the things, one of the letters she wrote was her heart's desires, her prayer list. And I've a couple times sat down with her and showed her how God has answered her prayer. And they become significant mementos. They're important to us. But we can also keep things that we shouldn't keep. And those become mementos as well, but not necessarily of things that are honoring to God. I realized a number of years ago that I had things in my life that I had to destroy because they were not of God. They were not things that I should have been holding on to because they didn't represent something that God has directed me into. There's a car for sale near where I live. It's a Mustang convertible. Do I hear an amen? And this morning as I came into town, another Mustang went through the light. And I said to my wife, that's an omen. And as I was driving here, I'm coming up out of Clearfield. And guess what I passed? Another Mustang. And I said to her, we better pony up. And she said, what do you mean by that? Never mind. But you know, I could go out and buy that Mustang, and do you know that it probably would not be God's plan for me? It would probably be my demise with my wife. That's what it would probably be. But we do that. We buy things, or we gain things, or we acquire things that become mementos in our lives, maybe of bad things, bad decisions. So, I want you to think about that idea of your treasures. Your treasures. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And mementos can be things that we cherish, that we try to obtain, that are not necessarily good things. When I was younger, how many would know what the name Patterson would write? Well, I wanted to be like Pat Patterson. For those of you that don't know, here's what I remember about him. He had a silver-headed cane, and I have one, and he had a flask on his hip. He was a two-fisted drinker. Well, that's not something I should aspire to be, should it? Now, I don't have a flask on my hip, but I can remember thinking when I was younger, oh, I wanted one. And actually, I bought one. And I have one somewhere in my possessions in my house. I don't use it. I don't have anything in it. But I thought how we can memorialize a person and want to be that person, which may not always be the person we want to emulate. So guard your heart. How well are you doing in that area? How's it working for you? Guarding your heart. You see, if we forget where we come from, do you know that we are often doomed to repeat it? One of the things that is found in Alcoholics Anonymous and also NA, Narcotics Anonymous, I think it is. But one of the things they'll tell you is don't forget your last drink. Don't forget your last drunk. Don't forget the thing that brought you to your knees. And that's true in our walk of faith. Don't forget the thing that brought you to Christ. Why? Because if you forget how bad it was. You forget how difficult and the place that you were in. And there's value in remembering because you don't want to go back there. You don't want to go back to that thing or that place in your life that was so destructive. It's one of the things that I miss sometimes, that we don't do many testimonies. And testimonies are important because testimonies tell the place that we were. And maybe it's where we were in our life last week. Now, I agree. Sometimes we don't want to hear about Martha's bunion that got healed last Tuesday night. But we do want to hear about the victories in your life because they become memorials. They become significant. And so we don't want to forget where we've come from. We want to remember those things because we don't want to repeat them. We don't want to go back. Well, there's a biblical memorials throughout Scripture. Throughout Scriptures, there's different memorials. In Acts 10:4, Cornelius stared at him in fear and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said, "The angels answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a what? A memorial offering before the God." Do you realize that God memorializes our offerings? He remembers them. Isn't that awesome? Cornelius was not a Jew, and yet he was making offerings to God, gifts to the poor. And God remembered them, and because God remembered them, he blessed Cornelius. Do we think about that? Do we recognize that our prayers and our offerings are memorials unto God? I wonder what he thinks about yours or mine. Is he pleased with them? Does he smile? I love watching children give. Love it. I was in a service last Sunday that the pastor took $50 from a guy in the service and then gave it to someone else. And he was talking about generosity. And he was saying how wonderful it is to give away someone else's money. Right? His point was that the money you have is God's. And we need to be the same way of giving away God's money to the things that God wants his money to go to. But we hold on to it. But children don't. Children are awesome. They'll give away money because they know they can come back to you and get more. Right? They do that. I asked my wife the other day what she had in the mattress because I needed some money. She told me nothing. In Matthew 26, Jesus is talking about the woman who has anointed him with oil, with the fragrant perfume. And he says, "Truly, I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." And we hear that story all the time. We know that story of that woman who anointed him with expensive perfume. And though we may not remember her name, we remember the story, its significance, its value. And the thing is that there's more. Memorials to the crossing of the Jordan, where they took the stone and they laid the stone up as a memorial to what God had done. In the design of the ephod that the priest wore in the tabernacle, there were stones that were placed in the ephod as memorials that the Israelites would know. The Last Supper, Jesus said what? "Do this in memory of me." Memorials are so important in our lives. Do we understand that? Do we see that? Do we understand it from the standpoint of work, letting them work in our lives? Perhaps as, my goodness, you realize it's 8:30? How many would like to get out early today? Nobody? Not a one? Okay, I'll keep you here. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, there's a verse that is, to me, extremely significant. It's significant because it talks about living a life, living a particular lifestyle that is important. And he says, "Hear, O Israel, hear, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, all of your soul, and with all of your strength." How much? all. These are the commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. On your hearts. Not in your wallets. Not on the wall. Although they can be. But that they would be on your hearts. Impress them. Impress on them to your children. Here's the question we all ought to be asking. If I were to die today, what would my children or my grandchildren remember about me? Think about that. How would you answer that? How would you fill in that blank? What would you want it to be? And if what you want it to be is not what it would be, what would you need to change in your life today to make it what you want it to be? Would you want it to be that Grandpa was a man that prayed to God and God heard his prayer? Or in my case, Grandpa was a man that sat on the porch and swung his cane at me and told me to get away. Or my grandmother who I made eggs at her house once and I burned them black. And she goes, "You don't have to eat those. I know, Grandma. I love them just the way they are." Oh, you and your Uncle Neil, you like eggs that are just yuck. Yeah, I didn't like them. I didn't know how to tell her I didn't like them because I was taught growing up that you eat everything on your plate, regardless of what it was or how much you liked it. Anyone here like that? If it was on your plate, you ate it. One of my nephews used to get into a fight with his father because my nephew would wear a hat to the dinner table. And it became a big sore spot in the family, in that family. And I remember years later, my nephew saying to his dad, "You know, Dad, it was just a hat." And sometimes in life we can memorialize things that aren't significant to life at all. They're us. We have our idiosyncrasies that spill out of us to others. It makes me wonder, how will my grandchildren and children and great-grandchildren remember me? We have three new children in our lives. I don't even think we've figured those into the 24, have we? My wife says no. So my daughter, my youngest daughter, who is a grandmother herself, is in the process of adopting three sisters and three foster girls. They're 13, 11, and 8. And they're quite the children. And I thought about it yesterday as I was with them. What will they remember me about? That I was a jokester? That I loved God? That I was mean? But you see, in Deuteronomy, he said, these commands that I give you today are to be what? On your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Talk about them. Makes me wonder what I talk about. It makes me focus on what words am I using. Yesterday, as we were at our daughter's house and we were getting ready to have breakfast, one of the girls said, "I want to pray." And so she prayed, and it was long. And as she was praying, I reached down and grabbed a piece of bacon and put it in my mouth. And she saw it. She goes, "Grandpa, I'm not done praying." Whoops. Whoops. What did she remember? What might she remember? Do you get my point? When the writer here says that we are to talk about them when we sit at home and when we walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. If someone were to walk into your life, would they know that you are a follower of Christ? They will by the memorials that you have in your life. Not just a cross around your neck. Not by the bumper sticker that you have. By the way, I don't have Christian bumper. I don't have any bumper stickers, but I have always refused to put on Christian bumper stickers. Do you know why? For those times that I'm not doing correctly what I say my mouth is saying I believe. See, signs, well, they mean different things to us. Do you ever notice as you're driving up here from town, there's a sign that says live bait? I read that this morning and I thought, well, I hope. I mean, have you ever seen a sign that says dead bait? Really? You see, our words and our signs ought to be the same. But why doesn't it just say bait? That would work. As I was coming down 153, there's a sign that says, drive safely. Okay. Would I want to drive not safely? I mean, really? And so when I see bumper stickers, I think about what they say and what they mean. It's like the one that says, Jesus is my co-pilot. I'd rather have him being the pilot, not the co-pilot, because if I'm the pilot, you already know I blow it a lot. I'm not good at it. Yeah. And so this verse found in Deuteronomy chapter 6 is extremely important to me because it talks about the life that God has called me to live. And living out my life is a testimony unto who he is and what he's done in my life, the prayers that have been answered. Talk about them. Talk about them when you're at work. Talk about them when you're getting your hair done, if you're one that gets its hair done anyway. Talk about them when you're fishing. Talk about them when your neighbor around a fire. Talk about those things. There's nothing wrong with saying, do you know what I learned from God this week? I've said that to my neighbor, big 6'5", retired Marine, big gunny sergeant. Hey, Mike. Yeah. Guess what God taught me this week? What, Bernie? We've prayed for them. She watches my videos. They don't tell me that, but once in a while, I'll see that she likes them. What's my point? See, the point is memorials. And I don't care who you are, you will find that people see what you memorialize in your life, what is important, what is your heart. And what I'm saying is if you say that you are a follower of Christ, then let that be the memorial that you live out. Live it out in different ways with how you talk and how you walk. How you live. Because God has called us to be the church. Not just about going, but going out there and being a representative of His body. His body. Him Himself, who loved, who gave people grace and mercy. People whom the religious leaders of the day wanted to condemn and kill and stone. And we have in our culture today a lot of people to love that the culture doesn't want to love. And I get it. It's hard. I get it. It's difficult. But here's where I believe we have failed as a church. We have allowed people to believe the things that we are against. And they remember those things. But I think God is calling us to be remembered by the things that we are for. And what are they? That Jesus loves you just as you are. And the things in your life that you don't think he's going to accept, let him deal with it, because it's not my problem. It's between you and him. So maybe this week you're going to have an opportunity to share with someone the truth of the love of God. And that may become the memorial in their lives that changes their life forever. But you're going to be the instrument that God's going to use. You just have to let him. Let's pray. Father, we have so many opportunities before us every single day. We have so many opportunities to move forward in the things of you. All it takes is our willingness. So, Father, help us to be willing. Help us to hear in a manner that we understand that it's your voice asking us to step out. Let us be a memorial in someone else's life this week. In Jesus' name, amen.